Joe Womack is going to be preaching over at Sardinia this morning, he'll do that every now and then to help out over there. But I remember when I used to do it every Sunday, things have progressed since then. I do confess to you that I woke up feeling poorly this morning, but I'm getting better already. But don't worry, as far back as you sit, you won't catch anything from me. You may not hear anything from me either, but that's your fault, not mine. The scripture lesson this morning is on the temptation of Jesus. And just after John the Baptist, by the direction of God, proclaimed him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and anointed him to the holy office of the king as well as the ministry. Then we read right after that, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt or test the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Luke adds, in a moment of time, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And may the Lord bless this his word to our understanding and to our ever-increasing walk with him. So while you are praying, I would ask you to be praying not only for me, but for Joe as he is preaching over there. But while you are praying, ask God to unveil the written word by the Holy Spirit and help you to clearly see what Jesus saw. So let's go before him in prayer. Father, I pray that I'll be faithful in proclaiming the word, and that we'll all be faithful in hearing and believing the word and rededicating ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do a work in our midst this morning that will glorify you and him and will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will open the ears of our minds and our hearts, and that we may receive your word and grow thereby. We pray, Father, boldly, that you will change us from what and who we are into what and who you want us to be by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit working through it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that Jesus did after he was enjoying the power of the voice of God speaking to him from heaven, and what did God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And it so often happens that way when you have a spiritual high, you have accomplished something for the Lord, and then Satan would give you the thought, wow, I really did well today. He doesn't often give me that thought, but he may give you that thought. And that's a time when you feel like you have really accomplished something and have arrived at where God wants you to be in your personal life. That's when the devil will take advantage of you and will bring you such temptation of pride and accomplishment on your own that you will not give God the glory, and you're just setting yourself up for a serious fall. And so the Lord Jesus Christ heard the Father say, after John had anointed him to this holy office, he heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And I think there's something going on here that is testing Jesus' endurance, because for the next 3 years, he will be traveling, preaching, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. He will cause the lame to leap with joy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is driven into the wilderness and fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And then, in his weakened condition, Satan came, began tempting him. And he basically used the same temptation with the Lord Jesus that he'd used with Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Oh, you must have misheard. And if you are the Son of God, what are you doing out here? What are you doing suffering? What are you doing starving to death? And Satan continues to attack us just at that point. If you are a child of God, why did you lose your job? Why did you lose your wife or your child? Why is this happening to you? If you are a child of God, it doesn't seem to add up, does it? And so Satan came to Jesus with just that, the realization of his weakened condition, but he was still the Son of God, and God was still well pleased with him. But Satan wanted to question that, just as he had questioned Eve and Adam. Did God really say that? So he tempted Jesus in his weakened condition to say, did I hear the Father speaking to me? Did he really say, I'm beloved, his beloved child in whom he is well pleased? Then what are you doing out here? You're hungry. You have the authority and the power. God said you were his beloved child. So speak to these stones and turn them into bread. Well, Jesus was perfectly capable of doing whatever the Father had directed him to do. But Jesus also responded, questioning Satan's question of him. Satan, why are you tempting me to think that way? I am the Father's beloved Son, and Jesus, having in himself all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, could have put Satan down right at that point. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to show us how to deal with Satan in temptation, he simply pointed to a verse in Deuteronomy, which said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, nor should you make the acquisition of comfort and ease your primary responsibility in life." And we'll have to confess that's what most of us do, isn't it? We want to be safe, we want to be comfortable, we want to be fixed, and we want everything laid out for us, because after all, when we accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, he promised to forgive our sins and also to prepare us for heaven. And that's not always a smooth and upward road, is it? Sometimes you have to deal with disappointment. And sometimes you have to deal with hunger. And sometimes you have to deal with loneliness. And recognize that when Adam and Eve were tempted, they were in a beautiful garden, and they had been given permission to eat anything they would, any fruit of any tree, except one, and that would come as a test. And Satan came to them and basically said to them, "Now, you don't have to submit to that kind of nonsense. You can have whatever you want. After all, you're in the image of God, aren't you? So you can defy God. You can become like him and choose your own route and have your own way." And Jesus responded from the same source that you have in your hands. And Jesus had it in his heart, because he had spent 30 years preparing for this ministry and memorizing, no doubt, much of the Old Testament, perhaps even all of it. Many rabbis could quote you from the Old Testament then and now, and are perfectly capable of retaining that. And after all, Jesus had 30 years to prepare himself. But he simply quoted a very short verse of Scripture. And if you have God's word hidden in your heart, then when you are faced with overwhelming temptation to doubt God, you have the same Scripture plus much more that Jesus had when he turned Satan aside by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Man shall not live with this chief interest in heart to get my way and to have all I need and all I want. But the one thing you must have is the Word of God. And you do have it before you. And when you're faced with terrible temptation, terrible sorrow, terrible illness, and disappointment, you have the same Scripture that Jesus had, and his own interpretation of that during his ministry, and the Holy Spirit inspired apostles of Christ who summed up and added to the Old Testament. So you have just what Jesus had, and he wants it that way. It's available, and the power is there, and the Holy Spirit is there, leading you into deeper and deeper and deeper knowledge. So how come you're losing so much? Could it be that you don't have the Word of God at your fingertips? You don't have the Word of God in your mind? And more importantly, you don't have the Word of God in your heart. You have your own wisdom, you have the wisdom of the world, you have your own desires to get ahead in life and to accomplish something that you can pass on to your children. But Jesus simply said, man shall not live by bread alone. The acquisition of things and of safety and comfort is not the highest goal in life, but to know God through His Word. So the devil then took him up onto the holy city and set him on the highest pinnacle of the temple. And by the way, that would be 450 feet from the tip of the temple down to the rocks below, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, then prove it. Prove that you're convinced that God will take care of you. So jump off. After all, I'm familiar with Scripture too, Satan said, and I can twist it any way I want to. But so it is written in the same Bible that you quoted from, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus' answer to that was, it is written again, you shall not test the Lord your God. And so here is Satan coming at Jesus with a different line. Okay, you claim to be the Son of God. Prove it. Prove your faith. Prove to everybody that you really are the Son of God. Just jump off. I mean, after all, God had said in His Word, angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus' response to that was, it is written again, you shall not test the Lord your God. And Satan is doing the tempting. God does the testing, sometimes through our own temptations and sometimes through His providential will. And so what He provides to you and what He teaches you to go to do and believe. But what Jesus was rejecting here was spectacular. And he would hear the leaders of Israel one day say, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. They were liars. Even when they realized from the report of the soldiers that the body of Jesus was no longer in the tomb and they had seen visions of glory, so what did they do? They paid the soldiers not to tell anybody, lest we lose our position. And so for the sake of the world's power and fame, they gave up heaven itself and opened the gates of hell to themselves. So here we have, if you're really a believer, you won't be sick. Or if you're really a believer, you won't be poor. The health and wealth made a lot of wealth and a lot of spiritual anemia by teaching that, and it was widely accepted on the television, on the radio, and in public. All you have to do is trust God, and He'll give you whatever you want. And Satan still, even with biblically knowledgeable Christians, will say, well, God will forgive my sin, so it's okay if I make a little slip here or there. If I put God aside and take care of myself, when I was at Fertop many, many years ago, a rather wealthy young man came back from making a fortune down in Florida and joined the church, the Signal Mountain Church. And then he wanted to help out with the missions. And he assured me that I'm going to make a record every Sunday of what I should give, but right now I just can't do that. I've got to get a new house, and my wife wants new furniture, and I want my business to succeed. So he said, I'm going to keep a record, and one day I'll come to you and give you for this mission work all that you need, and you'll never have to worry about money again. He hasn't done it yet, and it's only been 60 years since I left up there, and he had every good intention, but he was so overwhelmed with the desire to make a name for himself in Chattanooga as a successful businessman that he worked night and day and withheld from God every penny that he promised to give to God, and then he died. Died many years later, but the records show he never made 1 cent of contribution to the spread of the gospel in his home church or in the missions that I was helping with at the time. So it's so easy to have good intentions, and it's so easy to say, as soon as I do this or that or the other, then I will start obeying God. But right now, I just can't do it, and it's not in my plan. And Jesus said to Satan, it is written again, you shall not test the Lord your God, by outlandish accents. Yes, Jesus could have claimed angels, but he did not. He simply would not be tempted by Satan, and he would not test God's sincerity when he called him, this is my beloved son. And then the devil took him, I think in a vision now, up on an exceedingly high mountain. There are no high mountains around Jerusalem, so it would have to have been like a vision. And he took him to the highest mountain in the world. And then in a moment of time, he paraded in front of Jesus all the glory and wealth of the kingdom. And he tempted Jesus with the thought, I won't have to go to the cross. I can claim all of this without going to the cross, without enduring the Father's wrath on the cross while I'm there. I can have it all. All I have to do is acknowledge Satan. But Jesus was prepared for that. And Jesus proved his kingship over the kingdom of God by ordering Satan to withdraw. And Satan had no choice. Oh, he came back. He left him for a season. But the Lord has said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then he had added, be gone or away with you, Satan. Then the devil had no choice. And when you risk your life on the authority of the Word of God, God will honor that. But don't go out and make a show of it. And Satan certainly had the power to display all of the glory of all of the kingdoms of the world and their wealth. All you have to do is acknowledge that I have given this to you, not the Father who's making you endure hard times and heat and cold out here in the desert alone, all by yourself, without anyone with you. And then he heard the Son of God prove that he was the Son of God by saying, away with you, Satan. Satan had no choice. Oh, he would be back. And he would be back in the form of people who opposed everything that Jesus tried to do. And finally nailed him on a cross. And they said, if you're the King of Israel, come down and we'll believe you. But Satan had no choice at this point. He had to to obey the Son of God. And then the angels that he had tempted Jesus with to feed him, to take him away, to prevent him from going to the cross, the very angels then came down to minister to Jesus. I believe they brought an overload of manna with them. I think they took care of his physical needs. They drove away his dizziness and his headaches, and he was king over the kingdom of God. So what does this say to us? Certainly you will endure hardship and testing all of your life. And remember how Satan used the advantage of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, writhing about the decision that he had to carry through. And, oh, my Father, if it be possible with you, that I will not have to drink this cup, then take it away. But he prayed that way three times. He was wrestling, he was fighting against Satan in those precious hours in the garden. And he emerged victorious, because what did he say at the end of every prayer that he offered? Not my will, but thine be done. And so if the world has you in its clutches, know that the prince of the power of the air has you in its clutches, has you in his clutches too. And don't be fooled for a moment. It's not just that you'll make life better for yourself if you turn your back on God. It's not at all that you will get ahead in the things that really count for eternity. Because if you give those up for the sake of wealth, ease, amusement, entertainment, or whatever, or maybe just bitterness, then you've given up heaven and you've invited yourself to enter hell. So the temptation of Jesus was real. It was powerful, because remember, he had two natures. He had both human nature and the nature of God. And as a human being, he was tempted and tried. And the book of Hebrews referred to him as suffering through the temptations. So you may have to suffer, and you may have to give up, and you may have to change your priorities in life. But oh, when the Son of God comes in his glory, he will fold you to himself. He will himself praise you, and he will introduce you to the Father. Here is one for whom I died. And he was bold to risk temptation, and he was strong in the spirit that he succeeded in resisting. Now here he is, ready to enter your eternal kingdom. And I died for him, and I rose again from the dead for him. Are you confident in the word of God? Are you confident in your desire to put God first in your life, no matter what, no matter what temptations you have to endure? Then thank God for that. And thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who provided the way by resisting temptation. And so I would ask you again to sing with me the last point of the sermon by turning to 162 and singing with your heart, "What a Friend."